So this morning we're going to expand the mindfulness practices a little wider. We're going to do some, I'm going to outline the instructions and the teaching on what's the second foundation of mindfulness, which is mindfulness of feelings. And so I'll do some instructions and a full practice on that, and we'll have a short time for some Q&A at the end. So after we have been unpacking the experience that we've been having, starting with very simple mindfulness of breathing as a way to develop some concentration and as a way to learn how to attend with something that's present. So a whole day of that, and then a whole day of exploring a wider range of sensation, continuing to explore the breath, the full range of the body, the experience of hearing and seeing. And so now we're actually going to open to a very important aspect of not only the mindfulness practice, but really a really key and core aspect of the liberation process, which is looking at feelings, or the term they use is vedana. And it encompasses two particular skills, and it encompasses the skill to feel and to know. So to feel into what's happening and to know what's happening. Now in English, the word feeling has a very wide, probably too wide range of meaning. The word feeling, we could say, I feel happy, I feel sad. It can imply an emotional feeling. I feel upset, I feel disappointed, I feel joyous. It could also imply a sense of physical, I feel cold, I feel warm. It could also imply a sense of preference. I feel like taking a walk rather than sitting, or I feel like having a swim rather than a steam. And so it's really wide in the English language, the word feeling, but for the practice that we're going to be doing, it's much more narrowly defined. And it's very pragmatic, because if we look, you'll see today, that all experience that we are having has a particular charge of either being pleasant. So we experience things as pleasant sensations in the body, pleasant emotions, pleasant sounds, pleasant tastes, pleasant sights. Every sense that you have of the six senses, you experience each one as being either pleasant, you experience it as being unpleasant, or you experience it as being neither. And sometimes the word is neutral. It has no particular charge of being pleasant or unpleasant. For me, on a practice level, I prefer the term neither rather than neutral, because sometimes I get confused. I'm like, is this neutral? So really what neither is, or neutrality is, it's the absence of pleasure or pain. I don't particularly have a strong liking towards what's happening. I don't have a particular disliking towards what's happening. It's neither. Now, when we look at neither or neutral, it's a very interesting area to explore, because on one hand, we can experience neither as being very boring. Nothing pleasant is happening, nothing unpleasant is happening, it's bland, it's blah, I'm bored. And then if we sit with the boredom and we feed the boredom, the neutral, neither experience of boredom becomes very unpleasant now, because we've added a dislike, we've added a hatred or an anger or a wanting things to be other. So on the one hand, we can get bored and really turn it into kind of a suffering experience. Or we can feel a deep sense of ease and contentment, because there's no pain that I need to get rid of, and there's no pleasure that I need to cling to. I'm just this experience of being content, at ease with, which is also part of the direct path to the liberation process, is being at ease with and being able to feel into and to enjoy the neutral experience of life, the ordinariness of just walking back and forth, the ordinariness of just sitting and being able to actually enjoy that and to not get bored or create an attitude about it. And so if we really want to simplify it, and I think this is a very simple practice to understand conceptually. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, okay, got it. Next. But when we really start to explore it in the realm of practice, we learn a whole lot about our experience. We learn a whole lot about how the mind is conditioned. And so when we look at the first foundation of mindfulness, it can be summed up in one word, and that word is sensation. So you've spent two whole days bringing your mind and bringing your attention to the experience of sensation. Breathing in, breathing out, sound, feet on the ground, taste. And now we're going to open that up a little bit farther to see that every sensation that you experience has an impression. And the impression is the feeling. I like this. I like the sun on my face as I walk. It's pleasant. The cool air walking down here in the morning is chilly. It's unpleasant. My leg hurts a little bit. It's unpleasant. My hands feel neutral. My upper region in my throat, my face feels pleasant. And so we're learning to feel what's happening, and we're also learning to know. And the knowing is just a simple knowing, the simple labeling. So we're also, this practice can be a little bit tricky because now we're starting to kind of let the mind in a little bit, because it's the mind that knows pleasant. It's the mind that knows unpleasant. And once the experience is known, once the impression is known, we've completed that task. And so we have to be careful that we don't start thinking about what's pleasant and unpleasant, but just knowing this experience, the particular flavor of that. The other really important aspect of learning how to be mindful of your feelings, it's because this also, too, is the entry point to where we start to have access to the vulnerability that I spoke about last night. We see that we have fear, or we have anger, or we have confusion, aversion towards unpleasant. We want it to go away. We don't like it. We want to push it away. And so in this practice, we're learning to actually feel and to know unpleasant just as an unpleasant objective experience. And if we're going to learn how to feel it, we actually have to have access to it. So we're beginning to even learn the very beginning basic skills of emotional intelligence. It's unpleasant. I know this is unpleasant. Breathe into it. Breathe through it. Unpleasant. And then you might notice, oh, a bird, just sound of a bird. Oh, that's pleasant. Too much sun, unpleasant. Tiredness in the body, unpleasant. Breeze across my skin, pleasant. And so you'll notice that also from the view of the psychology, the present time psychology of Buddhism, that feeling is present in every single moment. So there's no escape from feeling, which again really puts us into the embodied experience, the actual embodied experience of having some vulnerability around. You are completely we're completely susceptible and vulnerable, and we are affected by feeling. There's no getting out of it. And the shift that we're trying to make here in the beginning of looking at feeling is we're starting to look at Again, the greed, hatred, and the delusion, and where the suffering is created around, I want to cling, and I want to have, and I'm greedy, and I need to take hostage, and I want to accumulate pleasant. I want to get as much pleasant as I can. I cling to pleasant. And I have hatred and anger towards unpleasant. I want it to go away. I want it to be gone. I want to get rid of it. We need the retreat experience to be pleasant. If the retreat experience, if I'm having a pleasant moment and everything feels pleasant, then the retreat is good, and this is the best choice I ever made, and I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm going to be fucking enlightened any second now. It's just any moment, here I go. Pleasant, pleasant, everything's great, I'm great. I like all you people, you're great too, the food's great, everything here is great. Pleasant experience. If I'm having an unpleasant sitting, my legs hurt, I'm tired, oh, this isn't so great after all, actually. This is hard to be with the breath and paying attention to my body all day, and I'm not, no entertainment, I'm bored, and there's no Starbucks around here, and stuck here in northern Thailand. And so based on the impression that we're absorbed into, we create an entire worldview. If I'm sitting here having a really challenging, difficult, unpleasant sit, everything totally sucks. It's all just a big nothing. Waste of time. Bad attitude. Now again, if I'm having a pleasant sit, then it's the opposite. So the relationship that we have towards the pleasure-pain dichotomy, this is what we want to liberate ourselves from. We want to overcome the system. The other thing that's important to know about the feeling system is it's completely and totally not your fault. You have no choice. If you experience something as unpleasant, you just experience it as unpleasant, and it's just how it is. Right? Like if you think of what you like, you don't know why you like the food you like. You just like it. You can't decide to like something you don't like and vice versa. So feeling is it's to some degree pre-conscious. It's conditioned. It's programmed. It's inescapable. And it mostly runs the show of our life. That we are actually driven. Our choices, our attitudes, our behaviors, our emotions are completely driven by our relationship to feeling. And so now we get to take a whole day here and really examine this and to really bring mindfulness to how we are creating reactivity, how we're creating our perception about ourselves and the world based on a feeling that I'm having, an impermanent feeling, a very temporary, fleeting feeling. And so in feelings, we also see this deep, deep characteristic of the Dharma that I spoke of the first night. Feelings are impermanent. No feeling lasts for very long. So there's no reason to cling or to push away because feelings are self-liberating. They will come and they will go on their own. You don't need to do anything except for feel and to know. Unpleasant, pleasant. The unpleasant feelings will go and then they'll come back. The pleasant feelings will go and then they'll come back. There's no reason, there's no need to do anything other than to watch. Feelings are also dukkha. They're difficult because they change, and they change so quickly. Feelings are, to some degree, unreliable. You have a pleasant feeling, you have a good day, a good couple days, and you think, oh, now I've made it. Now life is totally making sense to me. I've got it worked out now. I'm having all these, I have 12 pleasant days in a row, and then I have a bad day, and then everything changes. So feelings are difficult. Feelings are dukkha. They're impermanent. They're anicca. They're constantly changing. They're challenging because they're constantly changing, which makes them difficult and unreliable. And they're also anatta. They are not you. Your feelings are not a reflection on your value or self-worth whatsoever. You are not your feelings. Everybody has pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feelings. Everybody has an impermanent experience of them. Everybody struggles with them. You are not your feelings. You are not your emotions. And so oftentimes what happens around the feeling is this is where we create the narrative. The feeling creates the story. Feelings create the perceptions of who and what I am and how much worth do I have. And so when we're learning how to bring mindfulness and awareness to these practices, we want to be able to see them objectively. We want to be able to see them arise and pass away. We want to avoid the tendency to react to them, to cling to the pleasant ones, to push the unpleasant ones away. We're really actually, when we say going against the stream, this is the stream in which you're going against. No longer willing to be dictated and bullied and pushed around by this pleasure-pain dichotomy that we are born into. Now, because feelings are tremendously challenging by their very nature, because there's pleasant feeling, but there's a range of pleasant feeling. Scott asked a question yesterday about the physical pain, and I said, to gauge it, is it unpleasant number 3 or is it unpleasant number 9? So we can see that we want to be able to create some sort of gauge around the unpleasant feelings. How bad can I actually be with it? And so also because feelings can be so challenging by their very nature, we also want to really see if we can include into the feeling practice some metta. May I be at ease with feeling. May I be at ease with all feelings, and not just the unpleasant ones. May I be at ease with my pleasant feelings. Because sometimes if I'm having a pleasant feeling, I start to get excited, I feel uplifted, and now I want to start planning my next meditation retreat, and I want to call my friend and tell them this meditation that I had this morning where I really began to understand things, and now I'm excited, and I want to tell somebody what's going on, and now I can't handle the pleasant feeling, and now I'm unable to enjoy it, and I'm starting to maybe even suffer a little bit around it because I'm too excited. And I want to get on the computer and see what other retreats are available so I can sign up for those. Right? Or I want to see if I can get a plane ticket out of here tomorrow, hopefully. Figure out what lie I can tell Dave or Julie. And I really need to go. My dog died and I need to get back home. I really want to stay, but I really need to go home and deal with these. You've seen the mind go. It goes there, doesn't it? Why? Because you're having an unpleasant experience and you don't like it, and it makes you feel vulnerable and you're scared and you want it to go away. So the mind switches on and says, how can we fix this? How can we control this? How can we avoid this? And so this practice is putting aside the fixing, the changing, the avoiding, and the controlling, and saying, this is unpleasant. May I be at ease. May I be kind to my unpleasant feelings. May I even have forgiveness. You can use your forgiveness practices that we did yesterday. I'm forgiving my feelings for being unpleasant right now. And so we will do some practice here now, and I will offer some instructions on this practice, and we'll carry these throughout the rest of the day. So just finding a way to sit, finding a meditation posture suitable. So just taking your meditation posture, form, sitting. And just going back to basics. Finding your attention. Establishing mindfulness in front of you, here and now. Bringing your attention to the direct experience of the in-breath and just waiting for the in-breath to arise and just jumping right on, just diving right in. Softening, and widening, letting your attention also span out in a 360 diameter to capture and to receive all of the different sounds that are arising in this moment. And for now, just breathing and listening. And then, again, capturing the energy of the mind, just getting a sense for the energy of the mind right behind your eyes. And just letting all that awareness of the mind pour down into the body. And to fill your entire body full of awareness, the face, the forehead, throat, shoulders, chest, belly, arms, elbows, forearms, wrists, hands, fingers, gravity, feeling the chair, the cushion below you, the gravitational pull of the earth, which is holding you steady. The thighs, the knees, shins, calves, feet, toes. Full embodied awareness, mindfulness of the body, breathing, listening. And then very intentionally, very mindfully, expanding your awareness to open and to include feeling. How does it feel to be here? And just starting very generally by feeling the breath, feeling the body. Body consciousness, feeling, breathing. And feeling is also the gateway where the inner world and the outer world touch. So you're in touch with life, feeling the air on your face, on your skin, touching, feeling. Feeling the presence of the body through gravity. And even sound is feeling. Your eardrum is vibrating and making contact with the sound of the birds and the creatures outside of the building. You're feeling that. Hearing is feeling. And if you find this feeling to be a sense of vulnerable or some fear, see if you can bring metta to feeling. May I be at ease with feeling. And to see if you can feel with kindness. And as we move through feeling, we want to see if we can have an objective view on it. Instead of I am feeling, just coming into contact with the idea, this is feeling. This is feeling. Feeling is like this. And so just continuing to open awareness. Feeling temperature. Feel the temperature at the body. Feel the breath come and go. feel the sounds arising and passing. And now we're going to expand the feeling a little bit more to include the knowing quality. So the mind is going to enter a little. And to begin the experiment, I want you to see if you can identify anything that's happening right now that could be felt or known as being pleasant. What could be felt or known as being pleasant, agreeable, enjoyable? And investigating the full range of experience, noticing whatever sounds might be pleasant. Noticing where there might be pleasant sensations in the form of temperature, ease in the body, your hands. Noticing how you experience your breathing. Where does the breathing, can it be felt or known as being pleasant? And also an encouragement to experience what's pleasant and to enjoy. To enjoy, to be at ease with anything that you experience as being pleasant. And to bring awareness into your direct experience and to look closely to see what you could identify, what could be felt or known as being unpleasant, painful, uncomfortable, disagreeable, unwanted. And without reacting or without thinking about or fixing, just see if you can feel and know this is unpleasant. unpleasant. May I be at ease with unpleasant. May I allow myself to feel into it, to know it, to be at ease with it, and also see if I can forgive the unpleasantness for being here. I forgive you. And then noticing that there are certain experiences that are felt and known as unpleasant, while others are pleasant. And there's a variety available. And to not cling and to not push on either of them, but to just notice. I have unpleasant sensations in my body, and there are pleasant sounds arising. Allowing the feelings to self-liberate. And bringing some mindfulness to investigate anything right now that could be felt or known as being neutral. Being neither. It's not pleasant, it's not unpleasant, it just is like this. Many people experience breathing as being neutral, neither. It's not pleasant, it's not unpleasant. So investigating your own experience, sound, sensation, breathing, where do you experience things as being neither? And if at times this feels like it's too much or confusing, that's okay. You can just go back to what works, go back to the breath, the body, sound. This is not about doing it right or wrong. You can't do this wrong. It's just a way to experience. It's a way to be mindful in a different sort of way. And so this instruction for today is to continue to monitor your experience of your body and your breath, of sound and sight, and to feel into it, to feel. Your job today is to feel and to know. To know this is pleasant. To know this is unpleasant. To know this is neither. and to know that all these feelings are changing, they're impermanent. They're difficult, they're challenging, they're stressful. And that these feelings are not me. They're just a feeling. So if you like to stand or have a stretch, we have some time now for some questions. If you have any questions about the instructions for this morning or questions about the talk last night, we have some time for that now. Yes?
What would you say is the difference if your feelings part of the mind with a gut feeling? Feels like part of our work is to get in touch with our gut feelings and use them as guides. Mm-hmm. Would you say that that is also the mind? Just sort of...
Well, the feeling is the feeling. The mind is what knows the feeling. So the gut feeling is a sensation, some kind of sensation, and then you know that that feeling is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And so that's as far as we take it in the second foundation. So we don't investigate, is it sadness or, you know, that's a different type of foundation. We'll get into that in the next couple of days. This one is to just know the raw data of that sensation. This is unpleasant. And once you've known it as being one of these three characteristics, you move on. So you don't begin to think about it or examine it, or because then now we're just thinking. We're not with feeling anymore. Now we're with thinking. And so it's hard. And you'll probably fail a lot today doing this, and it's totally fine. It's how it goes. You'll find yourself thinking about the feeling, and once you notice that, you'll just go back to your breath and start over. It's okay. It's going to happen. And this is what absorbs the mind in any way, is this feeling. So just know the general charge of it. So keep it very simple for now. Yeah.
I was wondering about the times in between sits of walk, so after lunch and after dinner, when I'm just kind of lying around on my bed and thinking in those times. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, it seems like I find myself going off and being able to think a lot more creatively than I normally can because my mind's a lot clearer.
Right.
But then I get lost in planning and thinking about things.
Well, part of the intention here has been because of the fact that some of you are residents here, and this is not a retreat center. The schedule is not as tight as I would generally make it, so I've created some space in there. And so you might maybe lie down if you need to lie down, maybe go sit on a bench or to actually take a walk around the pond. So it's still practicing time, and I wanted to leave some time in there for you to do what you needed to do, whether it's take a steam or jump in the pool. So you still can bring the practices into those moments, and just even noticing the creative nature of the mind as being pleasant. And so if you're having some time for that, that's okay, but we want to try to limit all of that stuff, because that's not that it's bad or wrong, but we want to try to keep our mindfulness and our awareness for the day in the context of what we're being instructed to do, just so that we're getting a different framework of looking at experience. So you can bring it to everything, essentially. Yes? All right, good job. Yes?
Just a question. I can see it's being recorded. Will those be available?
Probably. Last year they put them on like SoundCloud, and Julian will probably email you guys a link, and all the talks that I've given will be available to you. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll stick them all on the computer as well, so you can get them off me.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I had a brief conversation with you last night around the woundedness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a bit, so you're confronted by one of these. How do you deal with them? Because, in terms of yourself, you spoke about trauma. It's like reliving the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with that? Because that kind of yanks you back in the past.
Yeah.
An event here and now that you perceive as cyber trial or abandonment.
Yeah. Well, there's a wide range of charge that happens based on the experience that we have, how strong the trauma in the system might be. But I find that the body is, when it comes to healing and reducing stress and being able to manage difficult experience, your body is actually your best friend. So what I'll do is when I'm in an activated state, I just constantly try to feel into my body and just notice unpleasant, unpleasant, and I breathe through it. Unpleasant, breathe in, breathe out, unpleasant. I just keep naming it and staying with it and trying to hold it with some degree of a kindness or a mercy or this is unpleasant, and I'm allowing it to be there. So I'm making some space for it to kind of sit next to me, because I hate it and I want it to go away so badly and I'm scared of it. And then I kind of dissociate from my body, because the trauma is in the body and the unpleasantness is in the body, and we dissociate into the mind. We go into such fantasy and imagination as a way to escape, which typically makes it much worse. It certainly doesn't resolve. So trying to train the attention to go right into the feeling of it and to own it, and even to name it, like, this is unpleasant and I hate it. And just breathing through it and just staying with it. And even if you almost imagine that it's just sort of sitting here next to you, and it's like, okay, like, I see you, I feel you, I'm with you. And to not abandon it and to not try to create some sort of got to get rid of, because it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't listen. If you tell it to go away, it doesn't actually go away. It usually becomes more pesky. So trying to feel. Yeah?
I hope you didn't answer that already, but I had the feeling that this pleasant, unpleasant, neutral judgment, that's something that already the mind adds to the actual experience.
Yeah.
And so when we would be fully aware and present, then that wouldn't really arise, because we would just do this experience.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. So it's not a judgment, right? It's not a, this is bad, it's not bad or good. It's a vedana, it's a feeling. So it's not something that you're adding, it's something that you're knowing. It's actually there. Pleasant feelings are there. Unpleasant feelings, they're there, whether you're aware of them or not, they're there. And so what we're doing with mindfulness is we're shining a light on them and we're just beginning to know them in a little bit of a different way. Oh, this is pleasant. This is unpleasant. Right? And so we're just knowing that what's already there, because I experience my life in these three ways. If I'm walking down here and the sun is coming up, I notice the temperature is perfect and I've noticed that my body feels pleasant, and I can just go, oh, I feel the pleasantness. So I'm not thinking about it, I'm not judging it, I'm just knowing it. And again, also, if sometimes this practice can be, if you get too intellectual around it, and it can become troubling. So if it feels like it's too much and it's not working or seems a bit much, you can ask me questions later, or you can just practice with what you were doing yesterday or on the first day. It doesn't matter. We're just rolling out these instructions. So to watch out for, it's very easy to slip from knowing this is pleasant to thinking about it. And so when we start thinking about it, we need to kind of drop the mind and go back into the experience. Does that make sense? See, it's not a judgment. It's just a knowing.
I guess if I'm 100% mindful, then it would always be neutral, because you know this feeling arises after the experience, so it's the next step on the.
Well, sure, it's the next moment, and so there's mindfulness of that, right? You know, if I am, you know, walking down here and I get stung by a bee, I'm going to get a big hit of unpleasant. I really don't, ow, that hurt, that was unpleasant, you know, I'm going to know that. I'm not going to be neutral towards that. You know, we're not trying to create a lobotomy, you know, where we just are indifferent. Mm-hmm. We just want to know what's present. So mostly you might notice, you're right, mostly life is neutral. Mostly. It's ordinary. And so a lot of times that's why we get bored and we search for the pleasure. So you might find that as you go through the day that the majority of the experience is neutral, but you'll notice as you move in and out, as you walk, I like to do this in walking because I'll notice I like to walk in areas where there's shade and sun. So I walk through the sun and I'm like unpleasant, hot. I step into the shade and I feel the shade come across my forearm and it's cool. And I'm like pleasant. And it's like, and just watching like the experience change, right? And so, you know, we're just creating a gauge. You don't have to be hyper-vigilant over it, but like, is this pleasant? You don't have to be looking for it. It's already there, is what is the whole point. It's already there. We're just trying to shine the light of awareness on it. Right? And noticing the changing nature of it. The first bite of food, pleasant. And then, of course, the fork. Right? But when you take a bite of food, you don't have to think whether you like it. You don't. How often do you eat food and go, do I like this? I don't know. I can't tell. You just know. Right? It's almost automatic. It's like contact, feeling are almost simultaneous. Now, you're right. They do happen one after another. There's contact and the feeling. But in every moment, it's just boom, 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 boom. And so we don't have to be hypervigilant and catch every one of them. But we just want to have an awareness of that. You know, as we're walking, as we hear a sound, we hear the saw. Oh, that's unpleasant. Or we hear sometimes they have these political trucks that go by and they like yell out like Thai political propaganda or something. And you'll notice, oh, that's unpleasant. I don't like that so much. And then the birds arise over here. You're like, oh, that's pleasant. Right? And so we're just kind of in a generally loose way trying to pay attention in these ways. Is that helpful? Yeah. Very subtle. Yeah.
When you say that you have like a feeling, you might have a feeling here, you might be mindful about it. If you have the feeling inside, that's okay too.
Yep.
You deal with it there.
Yeah, feeling, it doesn't matter. It's just feeling. Inner, outer, it's just the feeling itself. It's so simple that it's easy to complicate. You know, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. There's just a knowing of it. Yes, one more, then we have to stop.
Does it also apply to, I think I'm not clear on
what the labeling applies to. My mind wanders most of the time, say 90%, 95% of the time. So do you label that also, the content of the wandering?
You can. You can. That's a later, you can do that. But then that kind of encourages it a little bit. So again, in the context of what we're doing here, when you notice that you're thinking, which you probably notice more than you want to admit, you just drop the thinking and try to go back into some sensation. Okay, I'm thinking, drop the sensation. What's going on in my feet? Neutral. The sun on my body, pleasant. So you want to return back to, like I said yesterday, what can I be with? So when you notice you're thinking, you want to come back to be with something that's here, and then noticing the pleasant, unpleasant nature of that experience. So you're using it to come back, to come back, to come back. So as soon as you notice you're wandering in your mind, you just drop it. Just let it go. Just unhook. You know, let it just, okay, think, and you can even say thinking if you want to. I was just thinking again. Or wandering, you might say. Wandering, and then you come back to what you can be with.
So the feeling is really about sensation.
The feeling is about sensation. Yeah.
So why not use the term sensation instead of feeling?
Because the sensation is the first hit. The second hit is the impression. So I have a the sensation of the sun on my skin is a sensation. And then I feel that sensation as being pleasant or unpleasant. So it's secondary. But it's really fast. Right? Really fast. So part of the reason why we spend a couple days doing concentration was to try to slow the mind down enough so now that you can notice these things. So there's a difference between sensation and the impression of the sensation. But they happen very quickly. And so we just want to train the mind to really slow down enough to notice that. To notice, okay, that sensation, it's heat, it's got a heat quality to it, and I like it. But sometimes if the heat is too strong, we might not like it. So it's not always the same. So it's kind of a gauge that we're using, a very gentle gauge to identify what's happening. And it's very easy to overcomplicate this practice. So if you find, anytime you find that you're just thinking about it, just go back to your breath, back to sound. Just keep coming back. Because thinking about it is a different experience. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And play with it a little bit. Be creative. Play with it. You don't have to do it perfectly. You don't have to do it right. You just want to add this into your mindfulness very generally.